Now, with it being Independence Day, I'd like to wish all of you a very happy and blessed Independence Day on behalf of our bishops and all my fellow religious. The Mass this morning is the Mass actually from the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, which we did not celebrate because we had the Feast of Our Lady's Visitation. And so the epistle for that Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle, the third chapter. Dearly beloved, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, being lovers of the brotherhood, merciful, modest, humble, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this are you called, that you may inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him decline from evil and do good, let him seek after peace and pursue it. Because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers, but the countenance of the Lord upon them that do evil things. And who is he that can hurt you if you be zealous for good? But if also you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are ye. And be not afraid of their fear, and be not troubled, but sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Except your justice abound more than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to them of old, 'Thou shalt not kill, and whoever so shall kill shall be in danger of judgment.' But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, 'Thou fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. If therefore thou offer thy gift at the altar, and there thou remember that thy brother hath anything against thee, leave there thy offering before the altar, and go to be reconciled to thy brother. Then coming thou shalt offer thy gift." These are the words taken from the Gospel for today's Mass. Lord my God, in thee I have put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest at any time he seize upon my soul like a lion, where there was no one to redeem us nor to save us. These words are taken from the Old Testament book of Psalms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the very infancy of our country, at the War for Independence, this conflict brought out some of the best qualities in our country's men and women. One such group was a company of soldiers that had a great distinction because of their age, which was their most notable quality. These men had been German emigrants who had come to America after decades of service in their own country. Some of them had spent as many as 40 years fighting for Germany. And when they arrived in America, they looked forward to closing out their lives in peace and tranquility. But when they heard the call to arms to defend America's freedom, they once again took up their swords. Now, the captain of this band was actually nearly 100 years old when they enlisted. The drummer for their company could no longer be called a drummer boy because he was 94 years old. Most of the group was in their 80s, and their youngest member was in his 70s. They wore on their arm, instead of their German insignia or any other sign, a strip of black crepe fastened to their arms. And they wore this patch of mourning to express the sorrow that they had for having to once again take up arms at such an advanced age. But they did not let their age stand in the way of defending their country. They were said to have fought very valiantly side by side with men much younger than them and of much less experience. When asked why they came out of retirement at such an old age, They replied, "We should be deficient in our gratitude if we did not act in defense of our country, a country which has afforded us a general asylum and protected us from tyranny and oppression." These men were truly noble, and it is nobility that we need in our country today. There are many attacks upon our God, our country, and our families. But we are Catholics and we are Americans. As Catholics, we must remember the long list of our glorious forefathers who have gone before us and defended God's honor down through the ages. In an address to the Knights of Columbus, Bishop William T. Russell of South Carolina encouraged the Catholic men of his day, who were about to be the first men shipped off to World War II, by reminding them of the Catholic heroes that had gone before them in history. He reminded them of Saint Athanasius, who God raised up to put down the arrogant and sacrilegious claims of Arius. When the barbarian hordes took over the Holy Land, God once again raised Peter the Hermit and Saint Bernard of Clairvaux to preach the Crusades. When these same Saracens had put so many of our fellow Catholics to death and had turned many of them into galley slaves, Saint John of Malta and Saint Raymond of Penafort were amongst the men who vowed themselves to the ransoming of their captive brothers. Later, worldliness and the excesses of the Renaissance would grip Europe, and so you had Saint Dominic, clad in the white purity with his rosary in hand, re-enkindling the devotion to God in the hearts of men, while at the same time Saint Francis in his penitential brown robes reminded the world of our Lord's poverty and his mortification, beginning with the cave at Bethlehem. When Luther and like men sought to break the bonds of authority, the Catholic Church gave us Ignatius, in his core that he was the head of, living lives of perfect obedience to the Holy Father. And when the Age of Enlightenment, so-called, dragged men into darkness and doubt, an error of every kind, St. Alphonsus de Liguori, with his pen, St. Vincent de Paul with his charity, and men like St. John Baptist de La Salle and St. John Bosco dedicated their lives to trying to safeguard the youth. And so, my dear friends, it must be with us. We must step up and take our place as a generation of defenders of the Catholic faith. We must at every turn and when called upon at every possibility defend her authority, her laws, and her honor. As Americans, we have known from the infancy of our country what it means to fight for honor and to fight for what is right. Like those German emigrants who didn't even let the fact that they were 80 years old stand in the place of them defending their country, we should not let anything deter our determination from defending her and her honor as well. As Catholics, we love our country, and we seek to help her to do the will of God in all things. For this, this means that we strongly defend our Catholic faith, at the same time practicing it to the best of our own abilities. We live in the greatest nation on earth, my dear friends. Yet sad to say, today it is steeped in so much sin, and her enemies are bent on her destruction because she is so good. We can almost hear her say in the words of King David, the words of the psalm, "Save me from them that persecute me. Deliver me, lest at any time he seize upon my soul like a lion." What a fit application those words are to our beloved country today. The lion of all types of vice and sin, Satan himself, seems bent on her destruction. Her enemies truly hunt her down like a hungry lion looking for its prey. They attack her children at the earliest age. They attack her elderly, telling them so many times they have nothing to live for, and that life on this earth is something that they should not hold dear. They attack her uneducated ones, preying upon their passions, getting them whipped up into a frenzy and a fury, many times not even realizing what it is that they're enraged about. And at the same time, though, they use her wealthy and her influential members as pawns to further their attack on our great nation. What must we do in the face of such strong enemies? Well, as Americans, it is not our legacy to turn our backs and run, or to turn a blind eye and flee from our enemies. We must stand firm in the face of these attacks and begin by practicing our Catholic faith 100% with diligence and fortitude. We must never cower in the face of adversity or think that the fight is too big for us, but we must practice our faith as good Catholics and good Americans. Faithful to our country, patriots to the end, sacrificing when need be to withhold the laws of our faith and the laws of our country. And if we live good Catholic lives, if we practice the laws and the morality incumbent upon us by our Catholic faith, then we can take confidence in the promise of Psalm 90, which tells us that if we cry to God, He will hear our prayer. He will be with us in tribulation. Let us resolve then today, on this great birthday of our nation, to do our part and to be determined to live our Catholic faith to its fullest, regardless of what this might mean in the way of attacks or inconveniences from others. Let us live pure, chaste, and moral lives, saying our prayers each and every day with attention and devotion, knowing that we will be heard by God. Let charity begin in our homes. Let not petty fights, rancors, or differences of opinion drive a wedge between those with whom we live and those that we should most be helping to practice virtue and to sanctify their lives here on earth. Let us strive to be humble and charitable in a world that almost does not even know what these words mean anymore. Let us pray with confidence for our country during these difficult times. And of course, first and foremost, have recourse to our Blessed Mother. She is the patroness of our nation. You know, some nations have saints like Saint David or Saint James, Saint Joan of Arc, all magnificent saints as their patrons. But we in the United States of America, we have Our Lady herself, the Immaculate Conception, a title that she glories in very, very much. From the apparitions of Our Lady at Lourdes to the many miracles that she has had committed throughout the world, we see that every time people call upon her Immaculate Conception, she is thrilled to hear their prayers. When Bernadette asked her name over and over again, her answer was, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And under that title, which she uses for her own self, to address her own self, that is the title that she is our patroness. Let us have unbounded confidence then in her maternal protection. But let us once again live our lives so that we are good examples of what it means to be a child of the Immaculate Conception, a child of purity, charity, humility, and obedience. And on this Independence Day, let us ask her for the graces that our great country needs. Let us ask her to help us each day be brave Americans and true Catholics that love their nation. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.